The entirety of our faith is summed up in the 9 verses we heard this morning from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, which was today's second reading. St. Paul begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens." St. Paul is orienting us towards God. Blessed be God. And not just any God, but the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Ephesus in the ancient world sat at the convergence of East and West, of many of the trade routes of the ancient world. So the people of Ephesus would have known the Greek and the Roman gods. They would have known the gods from the East, all these pagan deities. But St. Paul says that there is one true God who has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. And St. Paul goes even further. He calls Jesus Lord. And Lord in the ancient Roman world was a title for the emperor. St. Paul is boldly calling Jesus, this criminal whom the Romans had crucified, they thought was dead, he is calling him Lord. Which for his listeners would have known that that meant that he is God, that he is supreme. So St. Paul is orienting us towards the God who has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, the Jesus who claims to be Lord, the Lord of our lives. So we might ask ourselves today, who is or what is our Lord? Who or what is first or primary in our lives? And I think if we seriously give that question consideration, it may give us pause. Because as human beings, we can let all sorts of things rise to the level of a God in our lives. But St. Paul again says these are not gods, that there is one true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to tell us that God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. God chose us in Jesus Christ. So much of our 21st century life is focused around the self. We place ourselves as the center of the universe. Just this past week, I spent some time at the beach with some friends of mine. And one night we all went out to dinner, and you know, as you tends to happen at the beach, you have to wait a long time to go to dinner. So we were sitting outside, and there were maybe about 20 or 30 people lined up on this bench. And at one point I turned over and looked at all the people lined up sitting on the bench, and more than 3/4 of them were staring down at this device. Here we were in the beautiful setting. The sun was setting over the water. It was gorgeous. And it just made me laugh because we were staring at our phones. And it made me laugh too because I do the same thing. I'm not immune from that. But it's a symptomatic of how in the 21st century we turn ourselves in on ourselves. And that has all sorts of implications. You look at the folks who try to redefine things like marriage and gender. They try to conform these things to what they think they should be. We do the same thing with God. We try to make God in our image and likeness and tell God what he should do and what he should think. St. Paul says that we've gotten this all upside down. That's not us who are primarily the center. It's God. God has chosen us. Jesus says in the Gospels, it's not you who have chosen me, but I have chosen you. Your life is not about you. It's about your election by God. From all eternity, God had you in mind. He laid out a plan for your life and for your destiny. And what God has in mind for you and for me is so much greater than we could ever think of for ourselves. That's the wonderful thing about God. When we let him in, we find out that our freedom isn't suppressed, but rather it grows because God wants more for me than I want for myself. So why does this matter? St. Paul says, it matters because God has called us to be holy and without blemish before him. This is our fundamental calling as Christians. We are called to be holy. What does that mean? That means, of course, that we enjoy all of the things that this world has to offer. Power, pleasure, money, our sexuality, all of these wonderful things. But when we pursue them for the sake of them, they become destructive to us. But when we enjoy them as part of life, responsibly, with our true end in mind, our life becomes even more fulfilling. That the purpose of our lives isn't all of those minor goods, but our purpose of our life is holiness, to be with God forever, to orient our lives towards him. And we might think, how can we do all of this? Some think that the Christian life is impossible. But St. Paul says today that we have been sealed with the Spirit. That God's divine life has been given to us. He calls it the first installment of our inheritance. Divine life is not something we have to wait for at some indeterminate point in the future, but it's something that we share in right now. It's a piece of our inheritance that we receive now so that we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit in this life right now. That is how we live life as Christians in this world. Yes, we will make mistakes. We will follow after all of those lesser goods because they're attractive to us. But ultimately, we have been given a gift of the Holy Spirit to orient ourselves towards that inheritance that God has in mind for us. He gives us a little bit now, but there's so much more in store for us later. St. Paul sums up what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be chosen by God, to be elected by him, to have true freedom, true peace, meaning, and purpose. He tells us what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, to try to live a life of holiness. My friends, that is truly the life that we try to live every day. And it's also the eternity we hope to have in heaven. Because life and God's eternity are truly beautiful. And so truly beautiful as well is our faith as Christians.